Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen. You must have clicked something, because now you're listening to Luke's English Podcast, and that's it, you're locked in.
Hi there.
I'm joined today by Kate.
Hi there.
Is that your normal voice?
No, it's not. Okay. This is my normal voice.
So, Kate is a friend of mine who also works at the school that we both work in, right?
Yeah.
Let's see, today in this episode we're basically going to have some fun. We're just going to mess around with different accents and voices. And the reason that I asked Kate to join me in this episode is because she is another person who enjoys messing around with different accents and voices.
I sure do.
So she's already started. That's I think probably your favourite accent at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is that you're doing?
I like to think of this as my cowboy voice, even though I'm a girl, so should be a cowgirl voice. But you know, when I start talking like this, I just can't stop.
So you're talking like a kind of cowboy, maybe cowgirl is slightly more appropriate here. And what is it exactly that makes that a cowboy voice? Why is that a cowboy and not just an American?
I think if you talk in American, you've got to change some of the vocabulary you use.
Like, awesome.
This is, yeah, awesome. If you just say that, you just sound like a modern day typical American.
So, you know, I guess like a kind of modern day typical American guy. I mean, it's very hard to generalize. You know,
yeah.
We don't want to say this is what all American people sound like.
No.
But there is a kind of, I suppose, a sort of generic kind of American guy. Maybe a sort of college student from, I don't know even which area of the States he's from. Or even if he's from America at all, because I'm, you know, I listen to a lot of TV and watch a lot of movies, and a lot of the people who I watch there, and they, you know, they may be American, they may be Canadian.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
I don't really know. I just like watching movies, and I just like doing this sort of general American voice. But
it's like this sort of, you know, American tinged kind of accent. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But then of course. Sometimes the accent goes a little wrong.
Yeah, but then you can just go into cowboy, and that can never go wrong.
If all else fails, you can just make your character into some kind of a cowboy kind of figure. And sure is a lot of fun, and just fun
sure
for
is.
All the family to get into. I don't even know if that is a cowboy accent.
I don't rightly know. Maybe it's just like, depending on which state you're in, you know?
You mean which estate in America, or
uh-huh.
which kind of mental state?
Well, both, I think.
I suppose one of the things that makes that accent that you're doing there sound like a cowboy voice is because I think it's a sort of Southern American accent.
Yeah.
So that kind of, hi there, I'm free, I sure am from... Whenever I do these accent episodes, I always think that, you know, whenever I speak in an American accent, I always think, if there are any Americans listening to this, they're probably, you know, they're probably like, oh my God, what the hell are they talking about?
What is this?
So I imagine if you're American and you're used to hearing the American accent, you know all of the different accents. You're probably listening to this and thinking their accents are going all over the country and everything. But if you give us a chance, I think we can probably do...
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we could do some accents and things. But most of our American accents come from TV shows, movies, things like that, computer games. So We really enjoy doing this cowboy voice, right? And it might even be quite annoying for some of the teachers at school, because we'll just be in the teacher's room and we'll be like, everyone will be going, have you got a copy of Murphy there? Or have you finished with the photocopier? And then we're kind of like, well, I'm tired and hungry as a Missouri heel hound. Them learners of English have been asking me questions from sunup to sundown. You know? And so people probably think, what are they talking about? But it's just the enjoyment of playing around with different accents, right?
I don't really know what their problem is. I mean, some of my friends, frankly, they prefer it when I talk like this.
I guess kind of my friends, they got used to it now.
Uh-huh.
And they know that when I start talking like some kind of no good son of a gun, that they know I'm just enjoying myself and just having myself a little bit of fun here.
You're as happy as a weasel in the hen house.
I'm as happy as a weasel in a hen house, and I'm prouder than a game rooster to be able to speak like this from time to time in such fine company as yourself. It sure makes my bosom swell with pride. You know, the part of it is the vocabulary that you can use. And it's like if you watch cowboy movies, like kind of gritty cowboy movies, maybe like a Clint Eastwood film from the mid-70s or something.
Ain't seen enough of them cowboy movies. I've got to get myself to the cinema.
You've got to get yourself down to the picture house.
The picture house.
I think you pay your fee on the door and pay attention.
Mosey on down.
Mosey on down to the picture house and watch yourself some rootin' tootin' cowboy action.
Yeah, that's what I need to do.
A lot of it's to do with the vocab and stuff, isn't it, that you use? It's not just like the kind of water, the sound of the voices, but it's the vocabulary that you use.
You see, I made a mistake there, listeners. I said cinema.
Yeah, cinema.
That just didn't work. I knew as it came out of my mouth, I knew it didn't work.
Because back in the olden days, back in the days of the American Gold Rush, and maybe around that time in 1847 it was, I think. Anyway, back in that time, they wouldn't have used the words. I don't know. I don't think they would have used the word cinema.
I don't think they even use it now,
but it doesn't sound right to say cinema, because that's very English.
Yeah.
Cinema.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas in America, they might say, we're going to go to the movie theater. You know?
No, they would, yeah.
They would say, hey, honey, you want to go to the movie theater tonight? You know, whereas in the sort of Wild West times, I'm sure they wouldn't have said movie theater. They would have called it the kind of... Because it was very early in those days.
Well, I guess they wouldn't even have had it.
They wouldn't have had it. So if it's 1942 and we're out in the Midwest and maybe we're a couple of gold... what would they call them? Gold prospectors. And we just came up here from way up in Missouri and we're looking to get on a gold rush, and I heard there's gold in them there hills. And imagine a couple of characters like that. A cinema would have been very strange.
Yeah, they wouldn't have said cinema. And I think a key thing to this voice is if you just say, I'm going to get myself and to do something.
So instead of saying, I'm going to do something, you say, I'm going to get myself and then whatever it is. So if it's like, I'm going to eat lunch, it was, I'm going to get myself some good eating. I'm going to get myself some fine luncheon. I'm hungrier than a dog in a Christmas time.
I'm going to get myself on that train the last thing that I do.
That's right. And other things like certain idiomatic expressions that they might have used at that time. Like,
you can find them on the internet.
Really? You just Google
cowboy language.
Cowboy language.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, it's just a fun thing to do. Just to turn and just give it a shot and just, well, hell, I'm going to talk like a cowboy now for the rest of the evening. I've had three glasses of cola. It's time for me to lay back. Three glasses of cola? This is original cola. No, what?
You don't drink that whiskey? That's my drink of choice.
I drink myself a whiskey and down to town if that's what floats my boat on that particular day.
No.
That's what floats my boat, no?
No.
They wouldn't say that?
No.
That's an English thing.
Yeah.
Whatever floats your boat, mate, you know what I mean? Whatever floats your boat. whatever floats your boat. I mean, whatever you like, whatever sort of thing you like. So, should we leave the cowboy thing to rest from now? Actually, another thing, though, about the cowboy thing is that it's not just the sort of vowel sounds and the way you pronounce words, and it's not just the language or the idioms you use, but also, it's, for me, what I really love to do when I'm playing around with voices is to add in some other kind of element, so like a gravelly tone to the voice, so a different sound to the voice, not just in the intonation of the rhythm, but maybe add in a kind of sound, you know, you make the voice sound kind of rough. Can't do that for long. But it adds sort of character to the voice.
Sure does.
Maybe kind of... you have to sort of imagine that you're extremely stupid as well. And you well, sure, I just came down here and withdraw some money from the bank, and the bank was closed, and I thought to myself, well, then, why would the bank be closed? And then I realized, well, shoot, it's Sunday. It's Sunday. The banks are always closed on Sunday in this part of town.
Right. For those of you that can't see Luke, which is everyone apart from me, he's doing a pretty dumbass face there.
Yeah, I think I'd probably pull some stupid faces when I do these voices. It just helps to bring the character to life, you know. If you can, if you do an accent or a character with a straight face, it's not going to sound as good. So if I do a character with a strange face, it's not going to be quite as animated or as fun. Whereas if you kind of add a lot of facial expressions to what you're saying and maybe start smiling some while they're talking, it's going to add a whole other world of possibilities to the way you can speak.
Luke's doing some pretty damn fine eyebrow action.
Yeah, I like to move the eyebrows up and down. Maybe move the head higher up on your shoulders and then bring it down again at the end of the sentence. Yes. Okay. What I've done here is I've made a list of lots of different voices or characters or things that I like to mess around with. And I just made a random list on this piece of paper. And the
it's
idea,
quite a long list.
It's quite a long list because I realised I like to do lots of different stupid voices. That's just how I entertain myself. You too, right, Kate?
Yeah.
So I'm not alone. It's just Kate and me in the world. Actually, if you go on YouTube, you'll find loads of videos of people doing characters and voices and things. It's quite common.
But,
and actors, of course, do it all the time.
To me, it's a way of life, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you grew up in Lincolnshire.
Yeah, partly. Oh, I can't do a Lincolnshire accent.
It's in... I can't do a Lincolnshire accent either. But it's basically, it's in Yorkshire.
Well... Okay, well, I used to live in York, and I can do your generic sort of Yorkshire accent.
That's
like
a sort of generic Yorkshire accent, like that.
A key thing to doing Yorkshire accent is to, whenever you say the word the, you've got to, what they call, it's a glottal stop.
Right.
Do your listeners know what that is?
Well, they might do, yeah. They probably should do. I've done a number of podcasts on accents before, but I haven't talked about it that much. I can't do a Yorkshire accent for some reason. It has to become Lancashire. Lancashire is a little bit more nasal, like that, you know what I mean? Like that, you know what I mean? That's Manchester.
You're very good at that, Luke.
Manchester.
I can't... to be honest, I can't do Manchester. I just have to stick sort of east. I have to stick east.
I'll teach you how to do Manchester.
Okay.
It's easy, right? So Manchester is in Lancashire, which is like northwest, basically, vaguely northwest of England. Lincolnshire is in Yorkshire, which is northeast.
No, it's not.
Isn't it? It's in Lincolnshire. Of course, it's in Lincolnshire. Oh my God, I'm an idiot. Lincolnshire is a county and Yorkshire is a county, but they're close to each other.
Luke
right?
doesn't really know what he's talking about.
Yes, I do.
He hasn't really... He's a southerner.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a southerner too, but I've lived in the north, so I know what I'm talking about.
I am a southerner, which... I mean, I have lived in the Midlands. I lived a long time, but that still doesn't really
doesn't
count.
Doesn't really count. I mean, Lincoln... Most English people think Lincolnshire is... southerners think it's the north. I think of it as the north, but actually it's the Midlands.
So Lincolnshire technically is the Midlands.
Well, nobody knows.
No one knows where the south ends, the Midlands begins, and the north begins.
Yeah.
But basically, Lincolnshire, I mean, if you're from London, Lincolnshire is in the north. If you're from Lincolnshire, it's in the Midlands, yes. Basically. So the, Lincolnshire has got a slight sort of Yorkshire-sounding accent,
well,
hasn't it?
I think the north is, if you say Bath,
yeah.
That's the north, and they yeah. say Bath in Lincolnshire.
Right, rather than Bath.
Yeah.
What do they say in Bath, the town? I think they call it Bath,
yeah.
don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they call it Bath. Bath, like that.
Do they?
Yeah, because
really?
they're from like southwest. So,
southwest.
You know,
yeah.
they've got. This isn't perfect by any means.
Well, it's pretty.
It's not that bad.
It's all right.
But they, instead of saying Bath, they say Bath.
Bath.
And it's got to go up like that?
Bath.
For me?
Like that.
Bath.
Really?
So it's got to go up?
Go up at the end?
Everything's got to go up like that?
Even if you're just saying one word?
Yeah, even in one word.
Bath? Like that?
Bath? Yeah, where are you from? I'm from Bath.
All right.
I'm just going to go and have a bath right now. No, something like that. Anyway. Right, so your family, apparently you've said this to me before, that when you're with your family,
yeah.
you're all in the house, you all sort of talk to each other in lots of different
we
accents.
We do, yeah, we do. Quite often it depends on which accent we've heard last. Like if there's someone on the radio, we'll realise that we've taken on their accent without realising it.
So if you're listening to, if you're listening to Brian Sewell, and if you're listening to someone on Radio 4 maybe speaks like this and then suddenly in the household, you'll all be speaking like this for no reason. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Okay. I hope you can follow this, listeners. If you can't really understand what's going on, I hope you're enjoying yourselves. You know, I'm sure that you are, because I am.
One of my favourite accents. You know, on Radio 4, you do hear a lot of quite posh English accents, but it's surprising, actually, how many Scottish accents you hear on Radio 4. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I have, because I think the thing about the Scottish accent is there is a very...
It's quite pleasing on the ear.
It's lovely sounding, isn't it?
Hey.
I can't do the Scottish accent too well because there's always the danger it's going to go into Northern Ireland. When I start doing a Scottish accent, it always ends up being from Belfast in the end.
I think the key to doing a Scottish accent is when you say cannot, you just have to say can it.
Oh, it's all right.
That was the
cleaner there.
That was the wee cleaner.
We were quite rudely interrupted there by the cleaner.
She was doing a bit of hoovering.
I don't know how sophisticated these Scottish accents really are, because I think that Maine is...
Yeah, she's pretty good.
It's not bad, but it's always wants to go into Northern Ireland. You always end up wanting to do a sort of Belfast
kind of
thing.
Oh, what's wrong with that?
It's not... There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Like, you know what I mean? You know, if you want to go to Belfast, just come on over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just visit us. You know what I mean?
Plenty of reasons to go to Northern Ireland. You know they've got a Titanic memorial.
They've got one in Dublin as well, I believe. It sounds like it. They've got the Titanic memorial in Belfast, so you can go there and check that out. But there's loads of other things.
My friends have just been there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They've just been to Belfast?
I've got a friend from Belfast.
Ah, that's cracker eye.
Aye.
That's dead on cracker eye. Cracker eye. I can't do a Belfast accent without swearing.
I
have to do some swearing in there, you know what I mean? For fuck's sake, man. I can't fucking do it, dead, mate. Unless I'm fucking swearing in there too. It's because
I think I might be better at the Southern Irish accent.
That's a sort of Dublin accent you're doing there.
Top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning. That's a little bit of a cliche, isn't it?
It's because I'm not very good at that one.
But it sounds kind of lovely. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I can't do it.
No, I think you can.
Sometimes I can do it, but sometimes I can't.
That's very good.
That's a sort of Dublin sort of...
That's very good.
You know, in Dublin they've got the North Siders and the South Siders. I don't know which one this is, you know, to be honest with you. It's somehow, it's a sort of Dublin voice. It's a sort of Dublin voice you might hear from someone like Bob Geldof. I can't
That's
even...
very good, but you're sounding slightly insane now. Just yeah. ever so slightly.
Because I'm trying to get the accent perfect, right? Yeah. And if it doesn't sound perfect, then I get frustrated and yeah. I make the accent go weird, you know.
Yeah.
So if it's not sounding perfect, it's like perfect, then it becomes American. It's difficult to, you know, it's kind of hard for me to separate all the accents out.
Oh,
sometimes.
You've gone into the first one again.
Come back to the cowboy thing.
It always comes back to the good old cowboy.
It's a firm favorite, ladies and gentlemen. So it's like coming home again when you...
Sure is.
You slip into the cowboy accent.
It's stuff. Like one of those comfy old college sweaters that you just have lying around.
It's like coming home to mama's cook.
It's like coming home to the dog sitting by the fire,
yeah.
by the fireplace. You got your home cooking.
You got
your glass of tumbler of whiskey.
You got a fresh pot of coffee brewing on the stove there. Everything's right with the world. You killed Ned Johnson in an act of revenge, and now everything's fine.
The horse is in the stable. The cows are in the field.
All the doggies are in the corral.
And the buffalo are safely out there, just grazing on the grass.
Just grazing away. Maybe one of the buffaloes... One of the buffalo is kind of like, hey, I just heard something. This is a buffalo speaking now.
Are you sure a buffalo would talk like that?
I don't know. How would a buffalo speak?
I think a buffalo would talk exactly like that.
It would either kind of talk like a cowboy would. I think a buffalo, because they're ancient animals,
yeah.
they were there way before the kind of white Europeans
yeah.
arrived. Because it's the white Europeans who speak like this in America.
Yeah.
Right? Who did in the sort of back
then
in the
white 90s. Folk.
The white folk
uh-huh.
Would speak like that in the
sure
19th
hell, yeah.
century. That, but before them, of course, there were the Native American tribes
yeah.
who lived there. And they worshipped, to an extent, they worshipped the buffalo because they lived off the buffalo. So they had a lot of respect. So I reckon buffaloes would have a sort of, more of a kind of Native American voice. They'd be like, A lot of that kind of, white man come. He kill other buffalo. Now, we buffalo, we run to a plain on other side of country. Fresh grass there, where the sky is blue. The river runs through the plains. Snow falls in the winter, but it is good. You know, that's
yeah.
how they would be.
Yeah.
They're old and wise and simple.
Yeah. It's, to be honest, Luke, I think that sounds a bit like an American version of your oak tree.
Yes, it is.
Shall we move on to the oak tree?
Yeah, okay, let's play around with the oak tree.
Okay,
yeah.
You have to explain this.
An oak tree is a kind of tree which you find in the English countryside.
Yeah,
these
very old.
Very old,
huge, very big.
Very big, very old trees, which are kind of symbolic of the English countryside. And don't ask me why, but sometimes I imagine what an oak tree would sound like if
yeah.
it had a voice. You know, if you can imagine...
This is what teachers do in their spare time.
Yeah, yeah. This is what paying attention to language too much can do to you. You start to give inanimate objects voices.
Yeah. Paying attention to the countryside as well.
Yeah, exactly. If you're a lover of the country, if you love the countryside and you also love, you know, different voices and accents and things, then naturally you're then going to put two and two together and end up with a talking oak tree.
How does it sound?
Well, for me, the oak tree is so big and old, it's going to be wise. It's going to have a deep voice, maybe a slightly rough tone. You know, like the bark of an oak tree is quite rough, but kind.
Definitely.
I've kind of forgotten how the oak tree voice goes, but I think it's something kind of like this. So, hello, little children. I want to see you playing underneath the huge branches of the oak of my oak tree branches. That's me. Be careful out here in the countryside, children, because, I saw a fox. I saw three foxes here, and no, they were wolves. foxes aren't particularly dangerous to children. They will.
I don't think I saw wolves.
Oh yes, I think you'll find that they were wolves. I wanted to warn you, children, be careful when the sun goes down, the wolves might come out. Oh, you can hide in the boughs of my branches if you want, but you should be running off home now to your parents.
That's how an oak tree would speak. I'm not completely insane because, you know, if you can imagine a cartoon, you know, a cartoon that might feature the voice of an oak tree,
the oak tree has a face. And I think, to be honest, I think it would look quite a lot like your face, Dick.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, we're like an old oak tree.
Oh, dear. okay. Let's go to the list and let's just pick whatever's next. We've done the cowboy voice.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that voice. It's just wrong. Okay, let's just pick one.
Well, I have to say, I notice you've got... It says a very posh old man, but yes. I'm not a man, I'm a woman. Yeah. So I'm rather fond of doing this voice because it took me for a while in my childhood, when I was growing up,
yes.
It took me a long, long time to work out the key to this voice. And the key is, when you say heist, I live in a heist, and you say it like this. It rhymes with mice.
Heist.
Oh, that is quite superb.
Yes,
I never realised that.
It took me a long, long time. Most of my time when I was growing up was just, I listened to people talking like this and I could not work out, for the life of me, I could not work out the difference in my accent and their accent. Yes. And then I realised it was heist.
That really is quite a striking revelation.
Yes, I did.
Fact, I hadn't realised that.
Yes.
I think another factor here in your...
factor
here, which is interesting, that strikes me as interesting when listening to your voice there, is not just the pronunciation, but also the tone.
The general tone. What do you mean?
I mean the fact...
I don't know what you mean.
I mean the fact that your voice seems... terribly high.
Terribly high?
Yes.
Really?
That maybe even the higher your voice goes when you speak in a very posh voice, the more posh it becomes. It's stunning.
I can't say I noticed that.
It's rather like the Queen, I might say.
Rather like the Queen, really?
Yes, because the Queen, of course, speaks in a terribly high voice. Thanks a lot for coming to the Jubilee at the weekend. I had a fantastic time. It didn't look like it. I know I didn't smile enough, but I had a wonderful time.
I did
and
some
now
waving.
I sound like Dame Edna Everett.
I did some waving.
I waved. The Queen basically did the minimum, didn't she?
Yeah.
Don't you think? She was like, yeah, here I am. I'm the Queen. I don't need to do anything else.
God bless her, though. God bless her, old Queen.
She's got a lovely smile.
Oh, she is.
She's an absolute diamond, a Queen. Honestly, she is. I don't know why, but she is. I love the Queen.
Oh, it's because she's been around for so long.
She's been around.
How long has she been around?
What, 100 years? 200? No, we had Victoria, Elizabeth the First.
Victoria and Albert.
Yeah, don't forget Albert.
Yeah, Victoria and Albert. Queen Victoria and Albert.
Yeah, it's like the museum, isn't it?
Yeah.
Victoria and Albert Museum.
Yeah.
But the Queen, as an institution, and as a person, and as a monarch...
She's been around for donkeys.
Literally, donkey's years.
Yeah.
Donkey's years, of course, that's an idiomatic expression, that's an idiomatic expression, right? Donkey's years, yeah. And that means a long time, essentially, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah. Don't know why I would say donkeys.
Because do donkeys live especially longer than, like, any other animal or something?
I think donkeys live longer than corgis do.
Yeah. Well, begging the question, why don't the Queen have donkeys? Why is she messing around with them little stupid pointless dogs?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I love that about the sort of Cockney accent, the way that they don't pronounce their T sounds, the glottal stop, like you say. So not get it, but I don't get it.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that myself. I was at I was on holiday with my cousin, and we overheard someone on the telephone speaking with that kind of voice. It was genuine. And he was on the phone to his mum, and he shouted to his, it was his mum's birthday, right? And he shouted over to his son, who was playing on the beach, because he wanted his son to come and speak on the telephone to his mum. And he's like, "Oi, get over here, speak to your grandma, it's her birthday, isn't it? It's her birthday. 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 It's alright, mate. It's your birthday, isn't it? Birthday."
Yeah.
I love
that.
That's
pretty, cool, Dave.
Yeah, I'm quite like that myself. Do you think, though, right, that the students should be speaking like this?
Well, nah.
Nah?
Nah.
Don't reckon?
Why bother?
What's the point?
Yeah.
No point to it.
Nah.
I think that...
I think you're out of your bleeding mind.
You reckon? Yeah, maybe slightly.
You're off your rocker.
You reckon I'm losing it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you reckon? Yeah, it's just... I don't know how to respond to that.
They all mean he's mad.
Yeah, they're all different expressions to mean that I'm mad. You can decide for yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, if I am mad or if I'm some kind of genius. I think you'll know which
perhaps
one the answer
is. Perhaps you're a mad genius.
Yes, they do say, don't they, that, that genius and madness are closely connected. I don't know what this voice is. This for me
is
for some reason I think that this is a snooker player.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm very pleased with the performance in the first 17 frames. I think that that Kate has done magnificently well. She's made life particularly difficult for me, particularly earlier on. But now, you know, I'm settling into a rhythm. I'm looking forward to the rest of the game. I think it's going to be very interesting.
To be honest, I think you're sort of moving into David Beckham there.
You reckon?
Yeah.
David Beckham. Well,
any sports player sort of sound the same, don't they?
Well, because sports players, that's not their job. Their job isn't to do interviews. So what happens is, when they do get interviewed by journalists, they're remarkably boring as speakers often. And so you get people like David Beckham, who looks fantastic, right? I mean, he does.
Well,
It's a matter. It's a question of taste, but generally speaking, he's a good-looking chap.
He's a good-looking lad.
He's a good-looking chap. He's got the face and everything like that. He looks good. He's got the body too.
More importantly.
And he also was a great footballer, still is probably. But when you interview him, and a lot of people around the world, like in Japan, they love Beckham, they're like totally mad about him and stuff, and they think he looks fantastic. But when he opens his voice, it's a different story.
Yeah.
Opens his mouth, it's a different story because... He sort of speaks a bit like this, don't you know? You know what I mean? So yeah, I've gone out there. I've done my best. You know, the boss has told us to just go out and like let our feet do the talking, and we've just gone out there and enjoy ourselves. Obviously, we've all had a good game. You know, Sol's performed well. Nicky's performed well. I don't know who Nicky is, but you know, he's probably one of the players on the pitch. And we've just gone out there. We've just enjoyed ourselves. You know what I mean? And I'm particularly pleased with the goal. Which I scored in the first half. You know, I got lucky. The ball came to me low, and I just struck it on the half volley, and there it was in the back of the net. You know what I mean? So, so you know, good performance. Going to keep moving forward, good performance. That's like a football pundit.
Yeah, I can't really contribute to this part because I don't really watch much sport.
No, I like to watch sport, but these days I just listen to the commentators. Like, I can't believe how ridiculous and how uninsightful the commentators are.
Really?
Like, because essentially what the commentators are there, I mean, they're kind of pointless because all they do is tell you what you already know
is
happening.
It's useful on the radio.
Yeah, the radio is brilliant and the commentators are really excellent at their job on the radio. But on the TV... Because we can see what's happening really clearly now with like our HD TVs, the commentators are kind of redundant to an extent, especially when they don't really give you any insight.
Yeah.
Like, I like commentators who have lots of useful information to tell you, but these days it seems the commentators will just tell you what you already know. So
you know, yeah, well, what's happened there is, you know, he ain't scored a goal because, you know, you got to get the ball, you got to get the ball into the goal in order to get a point. And what's happened there is that he's kicked the ball, fair enough, it's hit his foot. He intended to score a goal, John, but what happened was that the keeper obviously has come across and he's stopped it, he's prevented the ball from going into the goal. And when that happens, that's right, it's not a goal. So, you know, obviously they're going to have to try harder, they're going to have to kick the ball better in order to get it towards the goal. And not, this is the key here, Kate, not just towards the goal, it's got to go into the goal as well. And if it does that, 1 point. And essentially, that's what the game is, a game of, it's football, isn't it? It's football.
Yeah.
You've got to kick the ball with your foot. Football. Football. It's not ball foot. It's not hand. It's not hand ball. It's not foot hand.
It's not hand foot either.
No, it's football.
Yeah.
This is football.
Yeah. You know, an interesting thing, Luke, about this accent that we were doing earlier. Mm. I think, this is my theory, if you do Cockney for long enough, this voice here.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them went over to Australia. It's kind of similar. So if you start doing this voice, you can kind of move into Australian quite seamlessly, you know? That's,
I haven't tried it. Can I try that?
Yeah,
go on. So you start off as a bit of a Cockney like that, and then before you know it, you're kind of going into an Australian accent, and then
the
there you are.
Same kind of A sounds, you know?
Yeah, it's like sort of kind of stuff.
Because sometimes if I hear a Cockney in the street, you know, a Londoner, I can't tell sometimes if he's Australian or if he's from London, you know?
What about if he's wearing flip-flops? That's a New Zealand accent. What if he's wearing flip-flops?
Actually, Luke, the key there, if he's wearing flip-flops, just ask him what's on your feet, mate. And if he says flip-flops, you know he's a Londoner.
We're speaking in an Australian accent.
Because if he says flip-flops, you know he's English. You know why?
Oh, yeah, why?
Because they call them thongs.
Oh, yeah, that's right, isn't it?
That's right.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. This is, listeners, this is very important, actually. You should know this. If you go to London, if you say, can I have a thong, please? That means an item of underwear.
That's like a very risque item of clothing that you might wear, you know, maybe at a private party.
Otherwise called a G-string.
Yes.
But if you go to Australia, a thong it means a flip-flop. It means the kind of shoe you wear on the beach.
Yeah, you know.
Or at the barbie.
Yeah, obviously. Or just even to the office, mate.
Yeah, it's just the shoe that you wear, isn't it, really?
Well, it's not even a shoe, mate. It's more of a sandal. Sandal. There, we've gone back to the Cockney again there, haven't we?
Yeah.
So, sandal. By the way, I hope the listeners know what a flip-flop is. It's, you know, it's that kind of cheap sandal that you wear when you go to the beach and you just sort of... There is a thong, actually, which goes through between your toes.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear a joke? Say yes.
Go on.
What do you call a French man on the beach?
I don't know.
Philippe Philop. Let's move straight on to another voice. So that's the Australian thing, right? The Australian accent. Get exposed to a lot of Australian accents through TV because we have...
I love doing Australian accents.
So we have soap operas on the TV.
Soap operas.
You know, soap operas like Neighbours and
Home and Away.
And also, you know, get a lot of Aussies coming over here.
It's just great.
It really is. Okay, if I want to do a real Australian accent, I can't do it unless I really make it into a character. I have to, like, live the character, otherwise the accent's not right.
Of course, yes.
So I have to imagine, okay, mate, tell me what we're going to do is we're going to go into the bush. We're going to hunt for a
possum. Yeah.
So come on, get yourself a machete. Let's get into the ute.
Let's go into the outback.
What's the difference between Australian accent, you know, this Australian accent, which kind of seems to go up at the end?
Yeah.
What's the difference between that and a New Zealand Kiwi accent?
Kiwi, okay, right. I don't rightly know. I'm not very good at... Okay, let's try Kiwi.
Yeah.
New Zealand.
New Zealand? So you've got to imagine... Right, I can't do it, and I find it difficult to...
Yeah, I can't really do Kiwi.
I know it when I hear it, but I definitely know it when I hear it, but I can't really copy it very well. But
what I have to think of, my reference point, is either Peter Jackson, the director of Lord of the Rings. We're running out of time. Either Peter Jackson, the director of Lord of the Rings, or characters from Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah.
So imagine.
I haven't watched that much then.
Oh, it's good. There's a character called Murray, and they always have a band meeting, and he goes, "Okay, Murray, band meeting, Murray, present, Jermaine, present, Brit." Brit is how they say Brett.
Yeah.
And also Peter Jackson, who's like, so here we are at the locations for the Hobbit. The new movie, The Hobbit, and we've been working very, very closely with the Witter Workshop. Witter, not wetter, but Witter. So
the E sound becomes it.
E becomes I, I suppose. Like yeah. A pen is a pin.
Pin, yeah.
And my brother, who's called Jim,
yeah.
In New Zealand, his name is Jim.
Yeah, Jim.
So Jim, E becomes er. So Jim becomes Jim.
Jim.
And fish and chips becomes...
Fush and chups.
Fush and chups. Mm. Fush and chups.
Fush and chups.
So it's really weird, like all the vowels are in the wrong place. Mm. They've like got all their vowels mixed up. So Jim, Jum. Fish, fush. Chips, fush. Chups. Pen, pin.
Yeah.
And so a pen is a pin. A pin is a pun. And a pun is just a pun. Like it stops at the sound. You know what, Kate? You know, I have a French lesson at 6:30.
Yeah.
I've got to go. I've got to go to French lesson.
Yeah.
We're kind of having to.
I've got to go get myself on the tube, and I got to go see a play.
You're going to go see a.
I'm going to go to the Globe Theatre.
I believe that you're going to see a performance of Hamlet at the Globe Theatre.
Yeah. What else is there today, mate? I mean.
Don't know.
You know. I'm in London. Why not?
You could go to the pub. On your own?
Oh, I don't think so, mate.
Nah?
No.
It's theatre, mate. Theatre. Go to the theatre.
Yeah.
Go to the theatre. You know, what's going to be weird for the listeners is if I kind of...
Listeners.
If I speak more and more closely to the microphone, they might start to get a bit freaked out. And the listeners, you know, if you're listening to this, you've got like a sort of Australian Kiwi accent coming closer and closer to you as the episode draws to a close. You better be afraid, listeners, because the Australians are out there. They're going to get you.
And the New Zealanders as well.
Don't forget about the Kiwis as well, Kiwis. No, I can't do it. I can't do the accent, but we're just having fun with accents. I think we're going to have to finish because I've got to go to French and Kate has got to go and see Hamlet.
Yeah. The Dane.
Yeah. That's right. So I think that's the end of this insane episode of Luke's English Podcast. Final comment, Kate?
Goodbye, listeners.
Well, goodbye. It makes. I'm prouder than a game rooster to be able to sat down with you and talk for a few minutes over the microphone.
A few minutes. It was more than a few minutes. I think
it felt like a Sunday service on a cold November morning, a night of whiskey drinking and tall tale telling.
Yeah, we got to get out of here before sundown.
Yeah, so we'll catch you guys on the flip-flop later on. Okay, thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. And I have certainly had a lot of fun, and I'm sure Kate has too.
I sure have. Thank you, Luke.
And you can be sure to expect more episodes of Luke's English Podcast in the near future. Thanks a lot for listening, folks. Bye, 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 bye.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, please visit teacherluke.wordpress.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.